This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
He rocks in the treetop all the day long, hopping and a bopping and a singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, 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 tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet. Rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock up tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree, the wise old owl, the big black crow, flap of their wings, sing and go, bird, go. Rockin' Robin, rockin' Robin, go. Rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock up tonight.
Oh, yeah, a little Bobby Day for you, Rockin' Robin. That'll get you going on a Friday morning. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, it's February the 7th already. We thank you for being here. In a few minutes, Mark Scribner of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will join us, and we're going to talk about what's called a trusted traveler program at New York airports and actually all over the place, but especially in New York, that favors Mexican nationals over U.S. citizens going through the lines. We're going to talk about it. And the vindication of Trump in the impeachment trial has left Democrats fuming, vowing to continue the probe. But we're going to take a look at actual betting odds. And yes, they have a betting line on whether or not Trump gets reelected. Along with that, we're going to take a look at some other things going on in Washington involving Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi through the eyes of the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. And in California, where everything is going wrong, they now want to make voting in the Golden State mandatory. You got to vote. You got to vote. What are they going to do if you don't vote, right? Can they legally do that? We're going to talk about it. And you got to hear our ultimate top 10. These are the top 10 best words to live by. You will want to write them down. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. And here in Tampa Bay, there is no better place to go, men, for a haircut. Because you get the best price, and you also get the best haircut. You get the two best things you can get. Along with that, you get a lot of political talk. Now, if you're a liberal, go in there and don't tell him you're a liberal. You'll still get a great haircut because he won't know you're a liberal. And there's a big life-size poster. Is that hey, Ed, is that Donald Trump life-size poster in Andrew's barbershop? Is that the correct height, do you think?
I would have to say it's pretty close.
Pretty close. It's a great stand-up poster board of Donald Trump, or whatever you call it, and life-size and the whole bit. You got to talk to him there. Anyway, they're located in Dunedin, right north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza. Again, Andrew's Master Barbershop. Also, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Go there. Ed's got all our shows recently, chronologically. And you can listen at your leisure to any of our programs. You will know who the guest is and the top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, there's so much going on. You know, as I think we talked about the other day, it's great to be on talk radio if you're talking politics, because you're not going to run out of anything very dramatically interesting to talk about. Now, I guess there was a church prayer breakfast or something like that. And why did Nancy Pelosi, who was sitting there, and Donald Trump got up and he just, let's put it this way. If you had just finished a big meal, it was like Donald Trump belched. He got rid of all of the gas that was building up during the impeachment. I know this is probably not a great way of describing it, but I think it's appropriate. So there was Nancy Pelosi, who says she prays for the president. Now, do you buy that? I guess she could. You know, maybe late at night, she goes, oh, by the way, dear Lord, please bless President Trump, at least for a little while. But Trump said he doesn't buy into that one.
Well, she could be partially telling the truth.
Yeah.
She says she prays for him. She just doesn't say what she prays
for.
Yeah,
she may pray for him to go to hell now that I think about it.
She prays for him to be impeached, hit by a bus.
Oh, that's right.
Whatever.
Hey, you know what? I never thought of that. So you can pray for somebody quite a bit.
You just don't have to go any further.
That can be the main person you pray for.
The last thing you say to somebody, I will pray for you. And then leave it at that.
So what you say to them is, please don't.
No, I would say pray for what?
Yeah, pray for what?
I want more information.
Well, the Democrats are now doing are they are praying for more evidence that something is bad with Donald Trump. The Senate impeachment trial of Trump may have ended with an acquittal, but ongoing legal battles are remaining. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer was dismissive of the acquittal, calling it virtually valueless. Try to say that five times. And the result of one of the largest cover-ups in the history of our nation. I don't know about that. I think there was a pretty good cover-up going on with the Steele dossier, don't you? And they got away with it, didn't they? They even fooled the FISA court, didn't they? Anyway, so in the meantime, there's Donald delivering his celebratory remark. Hey, by the way, Ed, did you hear him use a bad word while he was...
I didn't hear that part.
Oh, he said it in live TV.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, BS, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. He said it right... It was a morning period of time, too, yeah. So the president delivers his celebratory remarks as his White House declared vindication. He thanked a lot of his people, including some of the lawyers that were on his team that helped him in the acquittal. So this is just getting the Democrats even more upset. They are going to continue looking. Here's Madeline Dean. She's a Democrat from Pennsylvania. Yesterday she said she spoke to Jerry Nadler. Remember, he's the head of the House Judiciary Committee, which actually should have been the one that was doing the impeachment hearings.
The head geek.
Not Adam Schiff's Intelligence Committee. By the way, Adam Schiff and the Intelligence Committee, isn't that an oxymoron now that I think about it? Why do you put anything with the word intelligence next to the name of Schiff?
I saw the two of them sitting together at the State of the Union.
Which two?
Nadler and Schiff.
Oh.
They were sitting together.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum were sitting together.
No, it reminded me of the movie Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, yes.
You know, we've always talked about it, that what it's like to be the president. Can you imagine the night of impeachment, it goes through and he's acquitted of that? You don't have time to celebrate because I'm sure he wakes up in the morning and says, okay, what am I accused of today?
And, you know, Nancy Pelosi says, but he's always going to have that scar. By the way, she's always waving her hand up like this, like she's got a sock puppet on her.
No, that's how she calls the bartender over. She's used to that.
Yeah.
Round for everybody.
I like that. But she says it's a permanent scar. Well, so acquittal is a permanent acquittal. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on what side of the bar you're looking at. Okay, let's take our break. We're going to be talking more about all of this nonsense later in the show. But let's do something serious. We're going to bring on Mark Scribner of the Competitive Enterprise Institute to talk about a trusted traveler program.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on The Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Everybody say yeah, yeah. Hey, we are back on a Friday morning and delighted to have back Mark Scribner, who is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about a program called the Trusted Traveler Program, apparently running into some issues. In fact, the Department of Homeland Security has stopped entry of New Yorkers into the program. And so, Mark, tell us a little bit about, first of all, what is the Trusted Traveler Program and what is going on in the Empire State with it?
So there's actually five Trusted Traveler programs, and they date back beginning in the 1990s, but following the September 11th terrorist attacks, and the reorganization and expansion of the national security apparatus, they were kind of shaped into the form they are today. But there are four of those five that are at issue. And yeah, on Wednesday evening, the Department of Homeland Security announced that it was no longer going to allow New Yorkers to enroll in those four international trusted traveler programs, the largest being Global Entry, which speeds your screening at airports or ports of entry when you return to the country. And their rationale was a New York State law that went into effect in December, which prohibits the State Department of Motor Vehicles from turning over information from its motor vehicle database to immigration authorities absent a federal court order. And so the DHS, what they said was that because they can't access that database, it somehow interferes with their ability to conduct background checks and other verifications. So they're not allowing any New Yorkers to enroll or re-enroll for those who are already in the program and their membership is expiring.
Okay, now this starts to sound a little bit like all of this sanctuary city kind of nonsense with, you know, ISIS agents not being able to arrest local authorities not holding illegal aliens, et cetera, kind of thing. I mean, is there kind of a connection here? Is this sort of a way of the Homeland Security office striking back at New York, or what?
Yeah, I think this is retaliation, and I think it was a rather clumsy retaliation and likely in violation of federal law. There's a few interesting things here. One, so New Yorkers are no longer able to enroll in these trusted traveler programs, but Mexican nationals remain eligible. So we now find ourselves in a situation where United States citizens who reside in New York are being are less privileged than Mexican nationals and several other foreign nationals who are allowed to enter this program. I think there's a very flimsy basis for for the Trump administration going this route. I mean, and especially singling out New York, which, you know, you think about it, New York City, a lot of people don't drive there. New York has the lowest resident entry rate into a state DMV database in the country. So it was an odd state to single out, and then it's sort of a strange look for the administration that has for years, and the Obama administration did some of this too, so a lot of this was a continuation, but has been cracking down on Mexican and other Latin American immigration to the United States, and for them to, in essence, privilege Mexican nationals over U.S. citizens is pretty bizarre.
Yeah, it is kind of bizarre. You know, the main thing here is we're trying to keep our citizens safe from bad people getting into the country, whether they come in through the airport or they cross the border or they come off of a ship or they descend in a hot air balloon or whatever else how they get here. And isn't that whole concept sort of being lost in the bureaucracy and politics of this?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we should, you know, if we're going to have these security protocols in place, they should be risk-based. And that's the whole purpose for this kind of advanced pre-screening through these trusted traveler programs is to determine which travelers are the lowest risk and therefore don't need to be run through the gamut at airports and other ports of entry. And I don't think this approach is tethered to any risk-based philosophy or analysis. Because, I mean, the fact of the matter is New Yorkers tend not to have driver licenses to begin with. And really what they're looking for these trusted traveler programs, absent the turning down an incomplete application. The biggest disqualifying factors are criminal records, and you don't need a DMV database to determine whether or not someone has a criminal record. That's searching other databases. So I don't think, you know, this looks like an attempt at an escalation. I'm not saying that New York, in passing its what it calls its green light law that allows that authorizes it to issue driver licenses to undocumented foreign nationals, to illegal immigrants, is good policy, but I don't think the way the administration is going about opposing that is right, and it's likely a federal judge will see it the same way that I do, and this will not end well for the Trump administration.
We're talking with Mark Scribner. He is a senior fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about this Trusted Traveler Program. The intent is to get people through, like, I guess I'm thinking mostly airports, Mark, but maybe there's,
you could go overland or, some people, if you come on a cruise ship or something like that, re-enter the country, you have to go through customs. This is to speed the customs process.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right. Most people experience that process when they're returning on a flight at an airport.
Yeah. I mean, you can go to any airport, any major airport, and don't they have these, you know, these people that normally come through so much, and you actually do have a special line for them to go right through. Why should they wait when, you know, they come through every other day through the airport there or something like that? So you can kind of understand the logic behind all of it. Of course, you know, I watch these old movies on TV when people would walk into airports and immediately walk right. I mean, you didn't even have to get on the plane. You could walk out and stand near the Flynn fence and look at the planes and stuff like that. And those days are long gone because, of course, of the terrorist attack. And we've become so, you know, obsessed with security. I don't know overall, if you took all of that away, I wonder actually how much good it's really done. Nobody will ever know. But it's just one more, I guess it's one more muddled little security thing going on there at the airports. So is there any, is this going to go before a court, in your opinion, a federal court or something?
I think almost certainly you're going to see you're probably going to see various governments in New York State, so New York City and likely the state government file suit. No one has filed as of now, although this policy was only announced in a letter to the New York State Department of Motor Vehicles on Wednesday of this week. So I think they're still evaluating that. And some people have said that this is some kind of this is a rights violation, or there's constitutional implications. And I don't think that's the case. I think this is a violation of the Administrative Procedure Act's prohibition against federal agency actions that are arbitrary, capricious, or abuse of discretion. But I don't think there's a constitutional issue here, in large part because no one would be denied re-entry to the United States under this change in policy. Rather, you would be stuck in the slow lanes, because I am not enrolled in any of the trusted traveler programs because I don't see fit to pay money to the federal government for the privilege of turning over more personal identifiable information about myself.
Oh yeah, that's right. You have to do that. To get through faster, you got to turn over just about everything.
You got to pay, and you got to turn. They fingerprint you. The way the process works for, say, Global Entry, you submit an application online with a lot of detailed personal information. Then you go in for an in-person interview where you're fingerprinted. They may ask for supplemental information. It's a pretty invasive process, and which is why I choose not to participate in these. But that's also why this wouldn't need, if they were saying we're going to deny New Yorkers who are out of the country on business from returning to the United States, then you got a constitutional issue. Here it is it's an inconvenience, but also likely a violation of federal law that restricts the ability of the federal government to engage and abusive regulatory activities, especially without notice. So I think that is where the challenge is going to lie with the more boring Administrative Procedure Act violation. But I think it stands a good shot, that argument, in federal court, and especially since this is kind of a continuation of litigation over the New York State green light law for the immigrant driver license law, which the federal government lost round one of that in federal court. And I think this may this most recent action may just anger the federal courts more. So I don't think it helped. I think there, if the federal government wanted to punish New York, there would have been ways to go about this, such as denying New York State issued licenses or IDs as primary identification documents for enrollment. That would have caused a lot of pain, but it likely would have survived judicial scrutiny. Here, I think they, I think they messed up both on on policy and on the law. So I think that, I don't think the courts will look all that kindly at this action.
We're talking with Mark Scribner. He is a senior fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute in Washington. Mark, let me hone in on something a little bit on the side on all of this. We're touching on it. That's these driver's licenses that that people, that are illegally in our country are apparently able to get in New York. I guess in California, is that also true? So
There's 12 other states in addition to New York, and then Massachusetts. A bill just cleared the state House Transportation Committee yesterday, I believe. Okay. So there's likely going to be a 14th soon.
You know what a lot of people wonder, at least I do? If you have a driver's license and you're illegal, could you sneak in and vote in an election? Couldn't you get away with it?
Well, presumably that you're going to have a voter roll that they would cross check against that. I mean, I think this gets to a deeper problem in which a lot of civil libertarians have been complaining about for a couple decades now, and that is the increasing use of the driver's license for non-driver licensing purpose. I think a driver license should show that you are competent to operate a vehicle on public roads.
Right.
I think turning it into, in essence, a national ID card, which this goes back to the George W. Bush administration with Real ID, and then the subsequent implementation under the Obama administration, and now today with the Trump administration, I think that is a big problem. I think we've moved away from simple, this is a competency test, and this is proof of your competency, to turning this into a kind of national ID card, which is something that, it was never intended when we rolled out driver licensing. But that's how it's sort of been hijacked by kind of this the security politics over the years, and here we are today.
Yeah, in fact, it's usually the very first form of identification, no matter what and where, even in airports. You got to show them your driver's license. You know?
Right, and now you're going, they're doing the Real ID compliant, the enhanced driver's license, which they, you know, they collect a lot more information about you in order to issue that to you. I would hope that something like this, a kerfuffle like this, would cause people to rethink the kind of the fundamentals here about what we're doing with driver licensing in this country.
Right.
And perhaps if we need to have certain forms of identification for security purposes, maybe there's another form of identification that we could use rather than dragging driver's license. Now, obviously, we went with driver's licenses because most people in the United States drive, and that's the most common form of picture ID. But was that the best way to go about that? I don't think so, and I think it raises some troubling long-term issues with privacy and the relationship between the citizens to the government.
Yeah, indeed. Mark, it's a pleasure, always a pleasure to talk with you. You know so doggone much. I want to thank you very, very much for being with us, and I know we'll be talking again down the road.
Thank you. It was great being back.
Our pleasure. All right, Mark Scribner. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we got so much to talk about when it comes to this impeachment and the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi. And we're going to talk about all of this with the proprietor of the only poll that counts, the Barber Poll.
Then run around with every single guy in town.
Hey, hey, whoa.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Friday. And before we go to Andrew, the Master Barber, who we always have with us on Friday, it's such a delight to talk with him. I want to tell him and you that we got more good news on the job front. Jobs are continuing to soar. Non-farm payrolls rising 225,000 for the month of January, well above the estimates, well above it. And the labor force participation rate is increased now to 63.4%. That matches the highest level in 7 years. And finally, 9 in 10 Americans, according to Gallup, are satisfied with the way things are going in their personal life. This is a new high. So you know what? It's kind of good to be an American right now, correct, Andrew?
Well, it's the best time to be an American, believe me. Things are soaring. What is it, 250,000 jobs added, right?
225,000 added, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Come on. And the Democrats just keep crying, crying, crying. You know what I mean? Let's get over this stuff. People are seeing it, Paul, big time.
So I guess you were shedding a tear for Nancy Pelosi at the prayer breakfast when...
I've been saying prayers for Nancy Pelosi, but for different reasons.
Oh, okay. Now, you got to say nice things. I thought she looked so nice in that white suit when she was tearing up the State of the Union speech, didn't you?
I think the next white suit she's going to have on will be a straitjacket. It'll have a few straps. She's losing it. There's no question. Paul, think about it. You got Dianne Feinstein. How old is she? 81 years old?
I think she just hit her 101st
birthday. Okay, you got Ruth Ginsburg. What is she, 86 years old?
She's 107.
Okay, and you got Pelosi. She's 78, 79.
No, she's only 99 years old.
Now, how would you like them to be flying an airplane? Would you get in an airplane with them and go for a ride?
If I had a parachute, I'd consider it.
Okay, so why are these people sitting there running our government, Paul?
Because we were stupid enough to elect them. Well, here's the thing. Nancy Pelosi gets elected, of course, by a majority of the House. That's how it works.
But they should put an age stipulation, Paul, just like they do with pilots and everything else. 65 years old, you're done. You can no longer run.
Well, that's a good point. You know, we got all of these Democratic presidential candidates that are around 80 years old. I mean, look at Bernie Sanders. Is he not about 78 or 79?
He's 78 years old. He's part of the 1% that he talks about, you know.
How old is Joe Biden? Isn't he close to
80? Joe Biden's 78 years old, Paul. Yeah.
And how old is Elizabeth Warren?
She got the mentality of about a 12-year-old.
Okay, so you got a 12-year-old, a 78, and a 79-year-old. I mean, that's too many years. We need some fresh blood. How about...
Well, they got Buttigieg there. He's what? He's in his 40s, isn't he?
Yeah,
him and his husband are both in their 40s, I believe.
So that's young blood. I'm not sure if that's the kind of young blood we want in the White
House. Paul, Trump is the best bet for your money. I didn't have the statistics on him to win, but I know you said you had the new line that they were talking about.
I got it right in front of me. Let me read it to you.
Yes.
Where is it here? Yes. A week of strong job approval polls for Trump has ended with the one survey that sizes up his chances for reelection. And the odds, it's on, by the way, it's oddschecker.com if you want to go to it. Oddschecker.com, all one word. And the odds are nearly 60% that he will win a second term. It says here, betting aggregator Oddschecker put Trump's chances at 59.99%. And the site shows that Trump has been soaring in the past few weeks. Now, let's look at the odds for these Democratic candidates. Senator Bernie Sanders, his chances of winning the presidency are 1 in 5. Well, you know what? I better be careful about this. This is new. I apologize. That is not... These are different numbers.
Yeah, Paul... You know, when Trump was first said he was going to run, it was 800-1 back in 2015,
right.
I believe it was, okay? But I can guarantee you now, Paul, that the odds of him winning, they got to be about 80% chance that he's going to win the election, you know?
You think
there's no question in my mind about it.
Okay. Well, I just found the correct odds for the Democratic candidates. Bernie Sanders, his chances are 16.7%. And Michael Bloomberg, your buddy, has a 11% chance.
Paul, they're not going anywhere, Paul. This is what I'm telling you. They're not going anywhere. The party's over. You know, Nancy better start wearing black instead of white.
Did you see the latest Bloomberg commercial?
I've seen a couple of them.
Yeah, Obama is endorsing
them. They're hugging each other. I caught that one.
Well, that's nice to hear.
Yeah, it's almost like Obama endorsed him, you know?
I wonder if Joe knows about that.
Joe's
yeah, I don't think Obama knows about it either.
He's cheating on him.
Because they're saying that he got, you know, he's using a lot of different people saying that they're backing him up, and they never said nothing, so.
Well, this may be just a flirting romance here between Bloomberg and Obama. You never know.
Yep, well, wait till Hillary jumps in there. She's going to be his vice president.
That'd be a strange threesome, wouldn't it?
Yep. I can see it now. Bloomberg Clinton.
So Bloomberg, is, and I think we brought this up the other day, Bloomberg is doing everything by remote control. He's not going to go and show up anywhere. I wonder if
he'll... No, he thinks the money's going to buy him everything, you know?
Well, if you sit back and you dump like $1 billion or whatever he will into this thing, do you have to show up and shake anybody's hand? And especially these days with the coronavirus.
You got to touch knuckles.
Yes,
you got to touch knuckles, Paul. That's the new way.
Don't
I see.
Does
he carry his, with the program.
Does he carry his box around with him? Or?
Yeah, rubber gloves. But
rubber gloves.
None of them stand a chance, man. Trump is going all the way. There's no question about it.
So everything seemed to – this is a good week for Donald Trump, and the Democrats are vowing to continue. I don't know why they would say that they are going to say the fight is not over. I mean, first of all, Schiff and Pelosi and Nadler are not good frontmen for the PR image of the Democratic Party. And these are the ones that are showing up all the time, you know, taking questions. I think they got to understand that these guys have become kind of buffoonish and clownish, and maybe, you know, they're negative images for the Democrats.
All the Democrats are negative images, Paul.
Okay.
I got news for you. I don't see one that stands out, my friend. If you can give me the name of one, let me know. I mean, they all stand out, but not in a positive way.
Not in a positive. Well, Chuck Schumer, one of your buddies, he was dismissive of Trump's acquittal. He called it virtually valueless.
Yeah.
And the result of one of the largest cover-ups in the history of our nation. That's a Trumpian statement, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. It's a Trumpian statement.
It's very Trumpian. I have to say one thing about Donald Trump. Everything is either the greatest or the worst or the best or the finest or the sleaziest. Or, you know, he's always...
You got to give him credit. He says it like it is, Paul.
I mean, he goes to the very extreme of it, right?
That's right. He pushes it.
He does.
And that's the way that people understand what's going on.
Yeah.
He talks their language,
yeah.
Paul.
So you buy into Trump, of course, having a very high chance of being reelected. And how do you think, you know, a guy that's kind of stood by him and kind of been quiet, but probably very, you know, extremely loyal, is Mike Pence.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Mike just sits in the background. Did you see how much class he had standing next to Pelosi the other night?
Yeah, I did.
Hey, guys, the guys are great, man. He just sat there, kept clapping and smiling.
Yeah. I mean,
and, you know, people make me laugh because they say impeach Trump. I got news for you. They don't want Pence. He's more conservative than Trump ever dreamed
of
being.
That is exactly right. So, I mean, I don't see their game plan in getting Trump out because Mike Pence is even stronger on conservative values.
That's it.
There's no question about that. Real quickly, I want to tell you that this is very sad news. The Treasury Department is complying with a Republican-controlled Senate inquiry into Hunter Biden's business dealings in Ukraine. And they have handed over highly sensitive financial records and evidence of questionable...
They're going to throw Biden's under the bus. I told you that.
You know, after Biden's poor performance, Andrew, in Iowa, and it was poor, he came in fourth, but he came in a distant fourth from Buttigieg, from Buttigieg and from Sanders. He was almost only one half of what Buttigieg's take was. So he's going into, and he admitted he invested a lot of time and money in Iowa. It's beginning to look like, I wonder if he's going to last past the next four or five primaries.
Yep. Well, we're going to see what happens, Paul. We're riding it out.
Yeah, indeed. So we've got... Well, you know, I kind of like that for riding with Biden.
Let's just go make sure you're in the back seat.
Let's go riding with Biden.
That's it. Just remember, everybody's going to join the Trump thing.
Wherever he's taking you to, then they take you out of the car, and they have you turn around and, you know, just one shot to the back of the head. So you got to be very careful.
The party's over with for him, but we're just going to keep watching because I know it's going to get better, and we're going to see this Durham investigation go down, and you're going to see people start tumbling, I believe.
Hey, a lot of listeners who know that you did that back surgery, if you don't mind, I want to know how you're doing. Are you doing pretty good?
I'm doing pretty good, Paul. I say I'm at about 85%, and I just keep plugging along, you know?
Yeah.
They say it takes time when you have a surgery like that.
It does.
But, you know, I thank God every day I can walk again, and Dr. Colbasani did a fantastic job.
Oh, God bless you, and God bless the doctor. That's wonderful. Yeah, well, you just keep getting on the mend. And, you got to remember, Andrew's been doing this barbershop thing for quite a while, and, you know, that's a lot of standing. And in the long run, that takes a tear on you, you know?
Yep.
Well, anyway, Andrew, it's always a pleasure, and we'll be talking again next week. Let's see. Boy, there's probably going to be a lot more news between now and the time we talk again. I'm looking
They're looking at what they could find on Trump over the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll be. All right, my friend.
Thank you, my buddy friend.
All right. You take care, Paul. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
All right. There he goes. The master barber himself. Let's take our final break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to give you the top 10 words to live by.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. And boy, this month is moving along, is it not? Well, in California, where everything seems to go wrong, there is something new that they're going to do, which may screw up the voting situation. Following a series of sweeping actions to expand access to voting in recent years, a California lawmaker is pushing a bill to require voters to cast a ballot mandatorily in future elections. The proposal, introduced in the state assembly, would be unprecedented and probably challenged, I would say assuredly challenged, in court. It would place the burden for determining the civil penalty and the ultimate punishment on the Secretary of State in California. Here's what this guy, his name is Mark Levine. He's a Democrat in the assembly there from San Rafael. He says, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires the active participation of all its citizens. He says, California is a national leader on expanding voting rights to its citizens. Those rights come with responsibility by registered voters to cast their ballot and make sure their voices are heard by their government. In other words, if you don't vote and we find out, we're going to tan your hide, Clyde, in California. So there you go. You know that there are countries in the world that have compulsory voting laws on the books. I wonder what they do, though, if they find someone that's not voted in those countries. But compulsory voting occurs, in, believe it or not, in Australia, Belgium, and Brazil, among other countries. That's kind of strange. But, I mean, what are they going to do? Fine you for not voting? You know what I mean? What are they going to do? Tie you to a tree and lash you a few times?
Well, there was one administration that was going to fine us if we didn't have their health insurance.
That's true.
So
that's true.
We're getting closer.
Yeah, maybe so. You know, I think a good old fashioned whipping,
yeah,
a public whipping, I think we can bring back those days. I mean, you know, bring the kids and pack a lunch. We'll do a picnic. And we'll find those people that aren't voting, and, you know, we'll deal with them that way.
You go to work the next day with a limp. Somebody asks you what happened. I didn't vote.
I didn't vote.
Got my butt kicked.
Well, I'd rather have that than a stoning. You know, if you don't vote in some of those Mideastern countries, it's pretty scary. Speaking about overseas, there is a type of black fungi, which is, by the way, singular for fungus, a type of black fungi that eats radiation. It eats radiation. And it's been discovered, of all places, in the Chernobyl nuclear reactor in Russia. Now, In 1991, this fungi was found growing up the walls of the nuclear reactor there. At the time, it baffled scientists due to the obviously radiation-heavy environment in Chernobyl. Then researchers figured out that not only was the fungi impervious to the radiation, it was attracted to it. Now, a decade later, researchers tested some of the fungi, determined that it had a large amount of the pigment melanin, you know, melanin, which is also found, among other places, in the skin of human beings. For instance, people with darker skin tones tend to have much more melanin, which is known to absorb light and dissipate ultraviolet radiation in the skin. So in other words, the darker your skin usually, the more protected you are from those harmful effects of the sun. Anyway, in fungi, it reportedly absorbed radiation and converted it into some type of chemical energy for growth. So you might actually be able to take radiation using this fungi and turn it into some sort of energy-producing product. Talk about taking a negative and making it positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Very interesting.
Hey, real quickly, I don't know if you'd heard Canada call in the Canadian news, the, you know, that we have twice a day.
Right.
And Pryor Smith said that about 100 Canadians had taken this Far East cruise that they got a great deal on. And now about 10 people on the ship have come down with the coronavirus.
Oh, wow.
So he said that they're docked and they're quarantined to their room for 2 weeks.
Really?
So he said, can you imagine
staying in the room.
Having an inside cabin with no daylight and no fresh air for 2 weeks?
How do they go to the bathroom?
Well, there's a bathroom in there.
Oh, I see.
There's a suite. I mean, it's got a bathroom.
Yeah.
It's got a shower.
That's right.
I mean, just to be boxed in there for 2 weeks.
Oh, it's absolute. That's hell.
Yeah.
I mean, how are they going to? That's crazy. That's so scary. So where is it? Where is the ship right now?
I don't know. It's somewhere in the Far East. I guess it's somewhere between China and somewhere right now.
What are they going to do to you if you sneak out of your room? I just want to go get a Snickers bar over there in the candy room.
I guess you'd have to order it, you know?
And then do they slide it under the door? That's kind of scary. Really, I shouldn't jest. It's very dangerous. You know, over 500 people have died from the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's maybe closely approaching 600 now. I don't know. That we know of, including the doctor in China.
The whistleblower.
The whistleblower doctor that actually kind of discovered what was going on.
There was photos of him and Hillary somewhere, too.
Uh-oh. Now, you're making that one up. You're making that one up. However, good Lord, if she was a carrier?
Well,
the first person she would infect would be Bill.
I was just saying.
How dare you?
Another mysterious death that met a Clinton.
Oh, I didn't catch that one. Yeah. We've talked about that as well. All right, Ed. Listen, time for you to get over on the drums because I've got a good top 10. And I call these, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to give credit to a lady that emailed me these. Her name is Mary Zapp. And these are, I found to be excellent top 10 words to live by, I guess we could call it, all right? So I want you all to write these things down because you'll have a happier life. Okay, number 10. Don't bother walking a mile in my shoes. That would be boring. Spend 30 seconds in my head. That'll freak you out. That's number 10, okay?
Okay.
All right, number 9. Words to live by. When I ask for directions, please don't use words like east.
Okay.
All right. Number 8. I don't mean to interrupt people. I just randomly remember things and get really excited.
Okay.
All right. That's words to live by. All right. Number 7. I don't remember much from last night, but the fact that I needed sunglasses to open the fridge this morning tells me it was awesome.
Okay.
All right. You like it? You're not laughing.
Inside, I'm laughing.
Okay. Well, all right. Number 6. When someone asks what I did over the weekend, I squint and I ask, why? What'd you hear?
Okay.
All right. Number 5. I hate it when a couple argues in public and I miss the beginning and don't know whose side I'm on.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Number 4. When you ask me what I'm doing today and I say nothing, it does not mean I'm free. It means I'm doing nothing.
There you go.
Number 3. If you're sitting in public and a stranger takes the seat next to you, just stare straight ahead and say, did you bring the money?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Number 2. Cop says, please step out of the car. I say, I'm too drunk. You get in.
I saw that somewhere.
I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. Not to the cop.
No, as he pulls out the little booklet.
You know, I had a friend that the cop said, you all drinking tonight? My friend said, why are you buying?
There's a lot of those.
That was like in the 80s when you could have fun, you know?
Now you got to worry
about it. Now it's like literal.
You know, there's a lot of those. The cop stops somebody, whether it's an old lady or a woman or an old man or whatever it is, you know, and there's these one-liners you can pull out of those things that. In fact, there's one here that I actually didn't. We have a little time. There's one here I didn't read. That's kind of funny. Here it is. I'm going to do this one. This is a side one. This is not number one. Okay, but let me just read it. Sometimes someone unexpected comes into your life out of nowhere, makes your heart race, and changes you forever. We call those people cops.
Okay.
All right.
I got one. Never eat the yellow snow.
Oh, God. Those are good words to live by. All right. Here comes number 1. Just remember this, Ed. When one door closes and another door opens, you're probably in prison.
Okay.
All right?
Here's another one.
I'm afraid.
Okay. You're not all that. If you were a trophy in a race I was running, I'd walk backwards.
I don't even understand it, but it did sound
funny. You know, like somebody thinks they're all that, you know.
Oh, you're all that great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you were a trophy in a race I was running,
I'd walk backwards.
I'd walk backwards.
Okay. Very good. Well, my friends, we've enjoyed a little fun with you, and I hope you've enjoyed it being with us here on a Friday on Freedom Works. Remember, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network. So, bye for now, and always remember, Freedom Works.